as a spare tire rather than a steering wheel. We wait till we have a blowout in our life and then hurry, call on God to rescue us.
We should do what Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says. You're familiar with it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants to steer. God wants to guide our lives. God wants to guide our lives, not just salvage our lives. If we never had problems, most likely we would not seek God. You know, when I first read that, I resisted it. And even now, as I speak it to you, I guess if we did not have problems, we would not seek God. The time we grow most is when we have problems. Think back through your life. That isn't to say we don't grow when things are going well. Now, I'm not saying that we can't improve in our Christian life when things are going fine. It's just that we grow significantly when we have problems. One of the reasons is because that's when we find that we must cast ourselves on the Lord, casting all your care on him, because he cares for you. In Psalm 4 and verse 1, David said this. Psalm 4 verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. I grew. I prospered. I became more when I was in distress. And so David said, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Why does God allow problems in our lives? Now, the list I'm going to give is just four items. There are certainly many more that would be on a comprehensive list. But the first reason for problems is not God's, but ours. And that's sin. The first reason for problems in our life is sin. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, and we're going to look at verse 2. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We have problems because of our sin. The things that we do, the wrong choices we make, the bad choices that we make, and it causes us nothing but grief. The second or next reason for problems is that God wants to build our character, to develop our lives, to mature our faith. God lets us have problems. And there are even times where he may bring a problem because of what he knows he can accomplish through our lives. Look at James. James. In the book of James, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 2. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. You see, the same way that when I say if we didn't have problems, we wouldn't grow as much as what we do. In the same sense, when James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers, various temptations. Temptations, of course, are testings. Can we be maneuvered into doing something wrong? Oh, count it all happiness, all joy, when you find yourself getting into those kind of situations. Why? Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, because that's what temptations do, that's what testings do, they try our faith. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, let it run its course, that ye may be perfect and entire. That's mature, complete, and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. First reason for our problems is our sin, our wrong choices, our bad choices. The next reason is so that God can build our character. But not only does James say this, if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, you find the same thing emphasized. 2 Peter 3, 17. Peter in his second letter says in verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now the things before are the things that preceded this verse. You'd have to read that. But the obvious point that is being made is that we should beware, or we're going to fall into the same trap that many other people have fallen into, or that we have before fallen into. You don't have to look at other people. All you have to do is look at yourself. Verse 18. In contrast, he says, but. He said, don't let yourself fall from your own steadfastness. Rather, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. God wants to build our character, and he does it through troubles and problems that we have. And that doesn't mean he doesn't and he can't grow our faith through good things. But we're looking at the subject tonight of, is God a spare tire or a steering wheel? Another reason for problems, God wants to teach us about himself. So why does he, why did, God could avert, God could direct away whatever kind of problem or trouble you ever have. God could intercede and just not let it happen. But why does he let it happen? Well, one thing is because he wants to build our character. Another reason, I'm not talking now about the sins that we do. I'm talking about the problems, the difficulties that God allows or brings to our lives. The problems we have because of sins we choose, that's in its own category. Okay? So I don't think I'm putting on God our dumb choices. I'm not. But God wants to teach us about himself. Let's go back to Isaiah, if you would, please. In the book of Isaiah, this time in chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants to teach us about himself. And in order to teach us about himself, he has to get our attention. And so when God goes about endeavoring to get our attention, when everything is just sort of smooth and placid and nice in our lives, and God's, hey, I got something I want to teach you. And we just keep going along smooth and nice and happy. God says, hey you, I want to tell you something about me. And we just go going along, we're happy as can be. Hey, we're happy with what we know about you. We don't need any more. Oh, we never say that. Of course we wouldn't say it. I mean, how dumb do we think we are, huh?
Right.
But when God can't get our attention, he may just either bring a problem or let a problem come. A problem that maybe otherwise he would have averted. Just as I said, he could avert them all. And there are many times when he does sidetrack a problem, and we don't even know that he's done it. But this time, he just lets it come because he wants us to see how he is and how he works. And then finally, but as I said, certainly not by any way complete list, God allows problems to test our hearts. He allows problems to test our hearts. It tests our faith, hence James in that passage, but to test our hearts. Jeremiah, if you're in Isaiah, back one book, of course, to Jeremiah, and we're going to look at chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9, 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God wants to test our heart. He wants us to know what our heart is like. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Paul told the Galatians, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You see, it wasn't Paul who thought of that first. Here Jeremiah says it. He's going to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He wants to test our hearts. So the conclusion of the matter is this. How do you see your relationship to God? Do you see him as a spare tire? That when you have a blowout, you pull your life over and you get the spare out to get you going again? If you do that, you might just find out that all you have is one of them little donut tires. You don't have the real thing. It'd be better to see God as a steering wheel to guide and direct your life so that you can avoid what can be avoided. And then remember, anything else that he lets come is for our good. And we need to thank him for it. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and grace. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have to be here on a Wednesday night. Pray your blessing indeed on the remainder of our prayer meeting.